third major reason we don't ask, barrier to asking, is fear. And where it all comes from is when we're children, we get shamed. We ask for something and we get, don't you care about this family? How could you possibly ask for that? Don't you see how much we're struggling, etc.? Or we get laughed at, or we ask for something in class and a teacher puts us down. And then we start to go inside and we make decisions. I'll never let that happen to me again. It's not safe. I'll be hurt. So I stay inside and I don't ask. The biggest fear is the fear of rejection. You can all remember, perhaps, if you were the boy or the girl in school, and there's a big dance, and you see this boy walk across the dance floor, and he asks this really beautiful girl to dance, and all of a sudden, she shakes her head no, and he walks all the way across the dance floor, and everyone's kind of laughing at the guy. Boy, he really blew it. Well, how often are you going to do that? Pretty soon, you give up. Or asking a girl out. I can remember in college asking a girl out in front of a couple of my friends, and she almost laughed. I'm never really sure what that was about, but it was like a long time before I asked anyone out again, especially in front of others. There's a research study that was done by Mutual of Omaha where they sent out salespeople to these leads. Now, the leads were actually bogus leads that were prepared by the company to find out whether or not these people would ask for the order. Now, some of these people would drive an hour across Iowa to this farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere, and then they would make this great presentation for the insurance, and then they wouldn't ask. And then they found out as they did this study that what happened was only about 3% of the people were asking for the order. And they were shocked. They were waiting for the person to say, okay, I'll buy it. So they brought in all these great sales trainers that taught them all the, 35 ways to close the sale, et cetera. And they sent them back out. And what happened was the amount of people that actually asked for the order, you'd think it would go to 99%. And they realized it wasn't the fact that people didn't know how to ask for the order. What they realized was people are afraid to hear the word no. I was working at a company that makes 50% of the eyeglass lenses in the world, and I was the first time they'd ever brought in an outside trainer. And I got there a day early, and I started hanging out with the salespeople at this conference, golfing and so forth, and I kept asking them. I said, how many of you know who the top 3 or 4 salespeople in the company are? And they said, oh, yeah, Joe, Margie, Bob, etc. And I asked everybody, and it was the same 3 people over and over. So when I gave my speech that night, I went up and I said, how many of you know who the top 3 salespeople are? Almost everyone raised their hand. Then I said, how many of you have ever gone up to them and said, hey, can I take you to lunch or dinner or buy you a drink? Would you teach me some of the things you do that are different? Because obviously you're doing it better than I'm doing it, and you've got something you can teach me. Out of 300 salespeople, a very successful company, only 3 people raised their hand. And I said, well, why don't you do that? And everyone said, well, why would they want to talk to me? They'd probably say, no, why should I share my secrets with you? Then I asked the 3 salespeople, I said, how many of you would be willing to share what you do? And they said, we'd be absolutely willing to share it. I mean, we love to talk about our success. In a way, it's kind of bragging, it's teaching, we like to do that. We are killing ourselves because we won't ask, because we're so afraid we're going to get rejected.
Somebody we'll introduce in more depth later, our friend W. Clement Stone, who's a world-class motivational writer, thinker, businessman, tycoon, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and friend. But Clem had somebody come to him, one of his salespeople, and say, well, I just don't have anyone else to call on. I need referrals. So he says, well, step out of the office a minute. Clem just went to the phone book, wrote out 10 names. The guy went out and called on him, sold 3 out of 10. Next day he comes back for it, does it for a whole week. And after the week, his percentage was 50%. And he comes back to Clem and says, I'm here for more referrals. Clem just hands him the phone book. He says, here's where I got him. I yellow highlighted him. Now you go do exactly the same thing. And let me just take that same referral thing and jump out of business, out of sales, and into education. You ought to ask everybody, who is the greatest teacher for my kids? Everybody says, well, we want better teachers. And what I want to tell you is that both Jack and I can afford to send our kids to private school, but we're sending them to public school because we got to keep the great public school system going. And when I asked myself, well, how do I make this and break through the limiting beliefs? What I did is when my first daughter, Elizabeth, started in kindergarten, I went and sat in 6 kindergarten classes. I audited the classes just like when I went through college because I know what a great and inspiring teacher looks like. Well, 5 of the teachers I would have fired because they weren't great. They weren't inspiring. They didn't love it. It wasn't their passion. It wasn't their right livelihood. But this one teacher, Mrs. Fellows, she had the juice. She had the joy. She had the ecstasy. And she had every kid standing up doing the alphabet and doing what's called kinesthetic learning. She'd have them stand up like a Y and then a T and then an X. And then they rolled up like a little donut, stuck out their tongue and say, this is a Q. Well, Mrs. Fellows was so good. She played the piano. She sang. She whispered the cues of information. I said, I want to take this lady's class. And it was just that good that if you ask for referrals, you can usually find the best of the best. I want to do one other fear that we haven't talked about yet, and that is the fear of dying. We just got a chicken soup story from a lady whose kid is dying of a rare form of epilepsy. She'd been to 28 doctors and said the doctors all said, look, lady, there's no hope. There's nothing we can do. She was at her wit's end. She went into deep contemplation, meditation, and prayer and said there's got to be some solution. And so she went to the internet, went to the chat room on epilepsy, and within 12 minutes, a doctor in Australia who had exactly that same rare form of epilepsy came back and said, here's the 7 things you do, and if you do them, your kid will get better. And I got goosebumps shooting all over my body. She did them, and her kid got well. What I think from a spiritual point of view, what I know from a spiritual point of view is that ask and you'll receive. But the fact is that the answer is closer than your breath, nearer than your hands and feet. But you've got to be open at a new level. And what we're asking you to do is change your resonation. All of us have the radio station called Our Mind tuned to WIIFM. What's in it for me? But you get so sucked into this one station. What we're saying is, listen to this with an open mind and an open ear and an open soul and an open heart. And we're asking you to be willing to change your radio station, a dial. Because what if you change from one kind of music to another that just winds your heart, that makes your soul soar, and you get, as Bette Midler sings in, the wind beneath your wings. That's what we're saying.